Are you ready for a change? Be it physical, mental, or emotional change, you've already got what it takes to make that happen. Your host for the upcoming program, the Matt Newton Power Hour, has trained in martial arts over the course of several decades. Time and time again, his training methods have saved or extended the careers of dozens of NFL, NBA, and Major League Baseball stars. Matt Newton has authored two highly acclaimed books, A Path to Power and The D Factor. The Matt Newton Power Hour starts now. Here's Matt. I've got the
power! Let's do a live radio broadcast. Good afternoon, everybody. And I mean everybody, everywhere. Are you ready for a live radio broadcast? If you are, we got one for you right here. Hey gang, I'm Mac Newton, and this is the Power Hour. Got a great show on tap for you guys today. I am excited. I'm looking forward to it. I hope you are too. Fabulous Natasha in the house.
I'm here.
Yes.
Hello, everyone.
Zach the Magic Man in the house. Yes. In the house with all of us today, the musical guest host, Brian Culbertson. Ow! As you can tell, this young man has a little soul. Yeah. I guess we would categorize this as smooth jazz. Not quite what we've been playing the last month or two. But you know what, though? It's music, man. And this young man can make some. He's young. Born in Decatur, Illinois, Brian played numerous instruments. His first instrument was his drums. And then he started playing trombone, joined a band, then finally picked up the piano. That's him on piano right now. So his father was a jazz band director, so it was sort of in the genes, you know. And he liked David Sanborn, and he liked Tower Power and Bootsy Collins. I mean, he had a broad musical area of appreciation. Introducing you to Brian Culbertson. He travels around, tours a lot. And if you get a chance to see him, check him out. We're going to introduce you to his music today. My lineup today, my early rant, is going to be about music, but the negative side of some music. My short segment is going to be, I'm going to ask you a question. When are you going to take charge of your life? Our main topic, part three. Do you have a guilty personality? We want to get the answer to that question. But first, before we get into all of that, it's time for our shout-outs. Shout-out list getting longer and broader all over the world. First up, Pam and Pele, our musical... our singing group from Holland. What's up, Pam? We call her Pamalicious in the house. Andy sent us all kinds of stuff from Spain. We got a whole segment we got to put with Andy today. Oh my goodness gracious. Andy, you're living quite the life, man. You got it going on. Check it out. Natasha, there's a picture of Andy riding his bike in the north of France.
He's very handsome.
Yeah, he's a handsome young fellow, isn't he? Here's another one. I don't know where he is there, but he's beautiful. Area, see that's Zach?
It's gorgeous.
It's gorgeous there. But I'll read you his email. He sent a long email. I'll share parts of that. He's our official Spain social and weather correspondent. All right? Awesome. More shout outs coming. Al down in South FLA. What's the story with the heat, man? Bring us up. Veronica G in the Philippines, our official correspondent, checking in with us today, telling us that everything's cool. Everything's cool. It's a little cloudy out there today. 27 degrees Celsius, which my calculation says 80.6 degrees, right there at the Mac Daddy line, okay? But here in Phoenix, downtown Phoenix, Arizona, right now, it's 105 degrees and sunny. Ooh! Maybe a couple of fluffy clouds floating about, but not to worry. Oh my goodness, Hula Girl, what you got going on? Peter and the Bevzilla here in the valley. Hey, Bevy, we missed you, girl. You better get back in here. All right. Rosie Brown and Junior, and we call him Ernest Spivey. How about that for timing? The Magic Man. You know, well, let's stay with some of these emails. We got some emails. And if you want to send me an email, send it to 7, the number 7, S-E-V-E-N, at macnewton.com. We soon may have to get an email just for the Power Hour. I got an email from a young man in Vancouver, BC. Let's see if I can find it here. His name is Rod Christensen. I think he's new to the Power Hour. Just found out about it. I guess he was listening for the first time last week. He has a suggestion for us. I want to see if I can pose this suggestion to our magic man, Zach. Rod suggests that we make it available in iTunes, Zach. He says it would download easier, and it would auto-download and sync to iPods and iPhones so that he could listen when he's on the go, when he's driving about. Is something like that possible for us?
It's definitely going to be possible. I just need to, as it is right now, you should be able to go to our website and just go to the archive page, and where there's the link to start the show, mm-hmm. you should be able to try to right-click with your mouse and say to save the file. Because it's in MP3 format, okay. And you could just drag it into your iTunes, and it would be a song file. But I'll double check it, tonight, okay. and this week, and make sure how the exact format is. But that should be how it works.
Okay. Well, hey, Rod, there you have it from the Magic Man. Now, Rod, if that doesn't work for you, let me know, or if that's too long-winded or whatever, too difficult, then we can look further about making it available in iTunes. We want to do whatever it takes to make it easy and convenient for people to check out the Power Hour wherever they are. Thanks for your email, Rod. I'm glad you're a listener. And do me a favor, tell a friend, okay? And also, Rod had sent me a separate message. He's interested, a trainer in Vancouver. You want a powerful, you want a dynamic trainer. You want that for yourself, Rod. I want to help you with that. And you know what? I'm flattered by the fact you say if you were living in Phoenix that you would come in and check it out here. Vancouver, British Columbia. I don't know if you've ever been there, Zach. Beautiful city. Beautiful. Have you ever been there, Natasha?
Yes, I've been there.
Were you singing there?
Yes, I was.
Where were you singing in Vancouver? What were you?
It was 1999. Mm-hmm. I was performing with my group, mm-hmm. Russian folk singers.
Yes.
So, quite a while.
What were you downtown? Were you at a particular venue?
I can't remember. Yeah. It's been many cities, but I know for sure I've been in Vancouver.
It's beautiful. It's a beautiful city there on the water. But you know one thing I noticed right off the bat? You got to take your wallet with you when you go to Vancouver, boy. I mean, I was doing a speech in Vancouver. And I walked across from the Civic Center. I was in the Civic Center, I think, and I walked just out of the conference room across the hall to a little bar. You know, it's just a superstition. Before every speech, I would go out and buy a Coke and have two or three sips and throw it away. It was a superstition started when I did my very first speech. I did that out of nervousness, and it went great, so I did it every time. I walked across to get by a Coke. I think it was going to cost me $1, $1.20, $1.50, $5. It was a $5 glass of Coke. It was like 8 ounces, $5. Whoa. But anyway, and I mentioned it. He said, yeah, things are a little pricey here in Vancouver. So anyway, we've got our... Todd, you know what? In addition to letting me know about this iPod and this iTunes thing, why don't you, you know, kind of let us know what's going on the social scene up there in Vancouver, and also let us know what the weather is up there too. So it's good to hear from you from time to time. Bringing you up, before we move too far along, let's go back and talk with Andy. Andy's a longtime listener. He's formerly from Ecuador, but Andy is a world traveler, as you can see from these pictures. You see the photos that he sent along? I mean, this one picture here, it looks like you're along a river somewhere there, Andy. He's riding, looks like it'd be a cross bike between a road bike and a off-road bike, so you're ready for everything. And it looks like he's on, it looks like he's in France, but you never know. He's like he's on the side. It looks, it's beautiful. See, they got a river there, and then the houses on the other side of the river. And here he's got another picture where he's looks like he's on a, in the countryside, but in the background you can see an ocean or a river out there too. Looks like you're having fun, my man. But anyway, let me share part of his email with you. I think you will like it. He says, as for the weather update in Spain, right now he's in San Sebastian, Spain, which is on the border to France. The north, though, actually today, September 27th, he did a six-hour bike tour to the north coast of France. I guess he visited French cities like, now, pardon my pronunciation, Hendaya, Biarritz, and Saint-Jean-de-Luz. It was great, he says. The weather was getting cold last week, summer officially over, as it is here. And fall is in, so the weather is around 18 degrees. I think he's meaning Celsius there, because that would turn out to be somewhere around 64 degrees. Okay, in my little mental conversion chart. 18 degrees Celsius, about 64 degrees. It's raining, and it's getting chillier every day, he says. Although today was sunny the whole day, that's why he grabbed his bike and went to France. How do you grab your bike and go to France? How cool is that? You just, okay, I'm going to grab my bike and go to France. You are living quite the life, my man. I grabbed my bike and I went to France. No, I didn't grab a plane. I didn't get a train. He grabbed his bike and went to France. And the north of France has a similar weather to where he is in San Sebastian. But next week he's going back to Barcelona, Spain. That's where he's actually living right now. I was just for the summer in San Sebastian. Well, okay. Living large. Thank you for that, and stay in contact, Andy. We really appreciate it, and we appreciate your listening to the Power Hour. And do me a favor, tell a friend, okay? I answered your email because your second paragraph was compelling enough, so I sent you an email. I won't go into it now, but I sent you an email, and you should be getting it here if you don't have it already. All righty, there you go. He says, Spain is very beautiful, and of course, sound like you live in an area that's, according to your pictures, extremely beautiful. We'll keep sharing. You keep it coming. All right. Okay, my early rant today, and by the way, it is it's 13 minutes past the hour here in downtown Phoenix, Arizona, on Wednesday afternoon, September 28th. Hopefully, it's beautiful where you are. I know it's beautiful where Andy is, and I know it's beautiful in Vancouver. I've been to the Philippines, too. I've not been to Manila, but I know that it's a beautiful country. I guess this is a time of the year where it's getting a little overcast and stuff out there. Well, Veronica, you keep your weather reports coming, too. You know, when I was growing up, I don't really recall hearing music talking about killing people. But I guess there's a song out now that says, you know, kill jar pile. Yes, I guess it was on one of the news channels yesterday, and it just brought to mind some of the music that I've listened to lately. Is it expressing an anger that young people have? Is it expressing just a sign of our times with the video games and the violence that portrays such a disregard for human life, and is being expressed in the music? Exactly what is it? Where you can really write and title a song, Kill Joe Arpaio. Now, I'm not making a statement here about, you know, whether you agree with the politics of Joe Arpaio or not, but he's a human being. I mean, and for someone to make a song to kill Joe Arpaio, what's scary about it is that what with the attitudes of people going about today, you may have someone who try to take you up on that. It's really a sad commentary on the state of our songwriting, quite frankly. If we've got nothing to write about but killing other people, then we really need to maybe look for another line of work. Negativity expressed in lyrics, especially that's being listened to by younger minds, to me, people say, well, no, people are able to separate that. No, that's not true. When you're looking at people who are very impressionable, 13, 14, 15-year-olds, and younger than that, listening to songs, and we know for a fact, science has proven that there is a direct correlation between some of the violence of video games and some of the violence that's portrayed in real life. You see things done today that in the level of violence, and not just that it's violent, but the level of it and the type of violence that it is, replicating the type of things that you see in video games. I think we need to take a second look at that, and we certainly need to take a look at the lyrics that are being portrayed in music. I like to say, I like all forms of music, but I draw the line there. I draw the line where people are singing about killing people, where people are singing about doing bad things to other people. I don't think music was ever intended for that kind of purpose. I think that music was intended to soothe the soul and to inspire people and to take us to greater levels of achievement in life. And so when we use it for such purposes, I think that we are abusing one of the great gifts from God. I think music, dance, those are two of the great gifts of God, and music is certainly one of them. So that's my opinion, and I'm entitled to it. If you have a different one, let me know. You can send your opinion to me here at MacNewton7@MacNewton.com. Let's preserve the integrity of our music. Let's not use it. I don't have an opinion about or a problem with songs that express passion about a cause such as saving the planet or encouraging people to recycle or encouraging people to do things that are positive and uplifting. Not at all. But I really draw the line when it comes to people encouraging others to kill someone else. That's my opinion. All right, let's move on. We've got, I want to also let you know that we've got our new newsletters going out. If you want to get on our newsletter mailing list, you have to go to my website, MacNewton.com, and register. Just go to MacNewton.com, click on newsletters, and just register, and you will receive our newsletters. We got a brand new one coming out, which is going to catch you up on everything that's going on. And, you know, you guys have got a surprise. If you like listening to the fabulous Natasha and you wonder, what does she look like? What does she look like? Is she really fabulous like the Mac Daddy says? And she keeps walking in wearing all these designer clothes and everything? Is that just Mac and the Magic Man wondering what's, you know, just overstating the fact? No. Well, you're going to get a chance to see, because Natasha is appearing in my new line of workout videos that will be available prior to Christmas. I don't care if you're just getting started, if you're 80 years old or you're 250 pounds, we've got a level of workout that's just for you, all the way up to if you are trying out for your Olympic team for your country or you want to be a professional athlete. 12 different workouts designed to make you healthy and to make you the best you can be. Take it from me, and write, and on there. In fact, just last Saturday, did you enjoy that shoot, Natasha?
I loved it.
Yeah.
It was wonderful. You were, I still sore.
You did a great job. You'll see her stretch and work out. It was terrific. I think, you know, not only are they designed to get you in top shape and get you healthy and get you feeling good about yourself, they're also designed to be educational, to teach you about fitness and health, and teach you the things that you should do to stay in top shape forever, okay? So stay on the lookout for that. More on that in our newsletter. So if you want to read about that, read about the Power Hour, read about my new black belts being promoted and what's going on in Newton Fitness and Newton Taekwondo and the kind of stuff we've got going on, get sign up for our newsletter. It's free. We'll send it out to you. It's in full color. It's a beautiful thing. In fact, you can even go there and print out some of our older newsletters, which are on file, and get an idea of what they look like. Okay, now, it is now 20 minutes past the hour and time for my short segment. What I'm trying to do with the short segment is to kind of bring about an element to the show where rather than just have one topic, we have several. And the short segment, well, is exactly that. It's a short segment. Something that I'm talking about, but something that's not going to go on for too long. Okay. My short segment for today is I'm asking you a question. When are you going to take charge of your life? Zach, I actually wrote this morning. It kind of reminds you of the day you walked into the studio and I was actually writing my topic that day. Well, I just wrote this morning. And I wrote a short version of it as a blog that I posted on Facebook. If you're not one of my friends on Facebook, it's too late. I'm maxed out. Yeah, I am. I'm maxed out at 5,000 friends. So someone sent me an email telling me how I can actually start a fan page or something like that. Maybe you can help me with that, Zach, because he's my electronic genius. I forgot. I got him in-house right here. I got the man. He knows about everything. So we need to start a fan page. Can you help with that?
Absolutely.
Okay. So because we've got a limit of 5,000 friends, we're way beyond that. I've got a waiting list right now, which is several hundred. So, but I think with a fan page, it's kind of unlimited. So, but I posted it anyway. I'm still posting things on there for my current friends to follow. I appeared on Channel 15 this morning, which is actually yesterday. The ABC affiliate, Channel 15, here in Phoenix. And one of the producers on the show is one of my Facebook. She said, I follow you on Facebook. I love it. I love reading your little things. So if you're not following me on Facebook, it's kind of sounding funny to say that. You're not following me on Facebook. If you're if you'd like to follow me on Facebook, then just go on and key in Mac Newton and you'll see it and get in line there. And we're going to get a page thing here and you'll be getting my blogs every day. I remember some years ago that my great-grandma, while being concerned about me and where I was going or wasn't going in my life, she asked me this simple question. Mac, when are you going to take charge of your life? She said, you only have one life to live, and it seems to me you need to get busy living it. You remind me of a sheep. A sheep, I thought. How can I remind you of a sheep? Well, I had to go out and find out what she meant by calling me a sheep. Well, I found out that sheep, for self-preservation mostly, always remain with the herd. They rarely venture out alone. They have little or no desire to explore. No seeking adventure. They just stay within the protective circle of the group so they don't have to deal with any danger or they don't have to risk anything of significance. Now, I've learned over time, and it wasn't just me, lots of folks act like sheep. Why? I don't know the full reason really, but I do know that whenever we allow others to control our lives, we place our future in their hands. We relinquish the right to our goals. We just give it up. And by default, we condemn ourselves to fulfilling the goals of others. If you are not actively pursuing your goals, you are going to be helping other people fulfill their own. It's not a pleasant situation, but it can be cured. You can learn how to take charge of your life. It starts here. It starts with learning the power of the word no. That's what it is. It starts with learning the power of the word no. Instead of just doing whatever someone wants you to do, use the word no. Now, what you're trying to do is you're trying to use that no to get to the yes of your life. You're trying to get to the things that are meaningful and valuable to you. But if you're so busy saying yes to things that are of little value to you that are only fulfilling other people's expectations, you're saying no to your own goals. You have to reverse that. You've got to learn to say no You got to say no to get to the yes of your life. It's an empowering word. And by doing so, you become a doer. You become a doer instead of being done to. Learn to act instead of being acted upon. And you do that by saying no. I'm no longer a sheep. And in reality, neither are you. And you've never been one. And you're not lost. If you've given away control of your life, there are several ways to get it back. In order to take back control, in order to clarify your goals and get back in touch with your dreams, you have to take a stand. And you've done so. You've started that very, very effectively by learning to say no. Take a stand. Stop asking for permission from others to do the things you want to do or the things you want to be. Stop asking permission. You need no one's permission. You've had all the permission you'll ever need for a long time. But what you need is to just do it. You need to get started. And you know what? Don't apologize anymore for wanting more than you currently have. Don't apologize. Don't be sorry. Be better. Stop apologizing. You know what it does? It tells other people that you're insecure. It tells other people that you feel inadequate. It tells other people that you simply don't like yourself very much. So, those are two things. Stop asking for permission and stop apologizing. It helps you to take back your life and take charge of your life. Now, remember one thing. As you change and grow, as you grow, when you learn to say no, when you start saying it to people that are not used to getting no from you, and you stop asking for permission from people you've always asked for permission from, well, as I did, you may lose some old friends. But don't worry about that, because the new strength and the new character that you're going to develop is going to forge a way for you to make new friends, just like they did for me, that'll be better suited for the life that you want to live. It will work. I've done it, and it will work for you. It is now 28 minutes past the hour, and this is the Power Hour. If it's the first time you're listening and you like what you're listening to, do me a favor. Tell a friend. Tell a friend to log on to MacNewton.com every Wednesday at 5 o'clock. We go live right here, and then we load it up immediately to the website, and you're able to then, well, download it to your iPhone or your iPod and listen to it on the go, just like Rob Christensen is going to be doing soon up in Vancouver and maybe some others. All right, we're listening to our new friend, Brian Culberson, again, who got into music at the age of 8 on the drums and then on the piano and trombone at the age of 10. And he even plays the bass. He started playing that at the age of 12. So, yes, I said earlier, he is he's from Decatur, Illinois, and he calls himself the Chicago Players after one of his groups, the Ohio Players. So he was into Bootsy Collins and the Ohio Players and the Brecker Brothers and Blood, Sweat, and Tears, Tower Power, you know, David Sanborn, you know, Chick Corea. So he's got a broad experience of a musical background. Passionate, naturally gifted. I've seen him in concert several times and always a pleasure to watch. If he comes into your area, Brian Culbertson, remember the name. Check him out. You guys stay right where you are. It's now 29 minutes past the hour. My name is Mac Newton. That's the Magic Man. We call him Zach Geist. And, of course, the fabulous Natasha sitting in the co-host seat. We'll be right back just after these words. Hi gang, I'm Mac Newton. I want to talk to you about success. Predictable success, like the sun rising in the east and setting in the west. A comfortable feeling that you know that you're going to reach the potential that the Creator put in you at the start. And that's what we do here at the Power Hour. And when you're not listening to us and following up on the things we're talking about, you can go to www.macnewton.com, where I've got essays, where I've got previous Power Hour shows you can listen to. And very soon, I mean within the next month or so, you'll be able to download workouts. That's right. Whether you're a rank beginner or you're getting ready for the Grand Canyon State Games or even the Olympics, or you want to try out for the Arena Football League, you'll be able to work out with the Mac Daddy and get in shape with the best in the business. All at www.macnewton.com. That's where the winners go. Gang, welcome back. You know, this smooth jazz, I didn't grow up with smooth jazz. I grew up with more of a contemporary John Coltrane, Miles Davis, Wes Montgomery, beat. But this kind of music has a broader base, and more people can feel that rhythm. It's not such a learned appreciation. Whereas, you know, whereas some of your more contemporary jazz is something you almost have to grow up with to appreciate it. But as I said, this has a broader base, and what that does, it allows the musicians to make a better living because they sell more music. And in today's world, they can download it and buy it online, and that's a good thing. So, here on the Power Hour, as much as I appreciate, you know, our old classical jazz and our... I'm also going to play the music of today with the smooth jazz, like guys with Brian Culberson. I mean, this guy is... music has been his life. And he certainly deserves a spot right here on the Power Hour. So, for those of you out there thinking that I have betrayed the cause, put down your signs. The Mac Daddy is still on the case. Okay. You know... Brian Culberson is a car-carrying member of the Jazz Club. Check it out. Yeah. I like it. Nice. And he's always got vocalists like Kenny Lattimore and Trey Lorenz singing, you know, smooth jazz. Now, you know, we could listen to that all day long. But again, my musical guest host, Brian Culberson, right here on the Power Hour. If you haven't heard him about him, you heard it here first, right on the Power Hour. Hey, Peter, go out and get you some Brian Culberson. You need that in your music collection because you know you dig it on this. This is from his CD called Secrets. So ask for it specifically and tell him you heard about it on the Power Hour. All right, gang, it is now 35 minutes past the hour here. A beautiful, beautiful sunny day in downtown Phoenix, Arizona. 105 degrees. We're stretching it out a little bit this year with that 100-degree weather. I know Natasha, she's up to her eyebrows.
No, I don't like it. I really don't like it anymore.
You think it should be over, huh, darling?
It should be over like a couple weeks ago. Come on.
you know what? I'm looking at you, and you're the same one who in about a month is going to be going, oh, it's so cold outside. you gotta pick a point. You know what it is, gang? She's got clothes, and you know, women with clothes, they're ready to get into their summer wear. Isn't this what it's about, really? Come on, fess up.
That's partly true. Yes, that's true. I want to get in my winter clothes, okay. My new jacket, beautiful one.
Yes, yes. Okay, see, I knew that.
And designer boots.
Yep, that's the fabulous Natasha for you, gang. So I knew it was something like that. But it is 105 degrees and sunny. You have no complaints from me, Mac Daddy. I like it. What about you, Zach? What's going on?
I think exactly like you said, I was just sweating to death in my car earlier, and I was like, man, I wish it would be cold out, but I know as soon as it is, I'm going to be shivering. Like, yeah, mm-hmm.
Zach, turn on your air conditioning, man. Turn on the AC.
It's got, you know, it's behind the eight ball when you start it here, and you know it's got to get caught up. And by the time you get to your destination, you know.
I got you.
But you know, I won't complain.
Okay.
It's nice and sunny.
All right. It is beautifully sunny day. In fact, yesterday was the kind of day when I couldn't even find a cloud in the sky anywhere. There's a couple little fluffy ones floating about out there right now, but not enough to really concern ourselves with. Looks like this is pretty much it for the rest of the week. 105, 104, 103, and sunny all about. So those of you struggling, except for Veronica G out in the Philippines, where it's 81 degrees, but you got clouds. We have none. So anyway, our so-called monsoon is over. Now, Veronica can tell you about monsoon. Veronica, tell us what the real monsoon is like. What when you're in your monsoon season, describe a day for you. You see, now she'll bring it back to us. See, that's a monsoon. That's just a little couple rain showers, okay? Natasha, where were we last week? Where did we finish up at?
Well, we were doing Do You Have a Guilty Personality?
Yes.
And you start giving the advices how to eliminate self-destructive criticism,
okay,
and self-talk from your conversation.
Yeah, that's... what I think we had talked about, I was sort of breaking down the adult manifestations, how guilt is displayed in an adult personality. And we had talked, I think, about just the first two. Let's see, if you got your notes there, I think the first I talked about, the first and the most common indicator of a guilty personality is feelings of inferiority, feelings of inadequacy, feelings of undeservingness. If you feel you don't deserve good things to happen to you, in fact, if several good things happen to you in a row, you'll become extremely uncomfortable. It's like success anxiety. You feel out of your comfort zone of good stuff, and you'll start to engage in behavior to sabotage and stop those good things from happening. Okay? These feelings of inferiority, these feelings of inadequacy and undeservingness are often expressed when people use these words, I'm not good enough. Some psychologists refer to this as a fear of failure. I refer to it as a fear of success. The fear of success is simply another way of saying that because of your deep down feelings that you're not worth very much, any achievement that contradicts your self-limiting beliefs makes you feel uncomfortable. And so often, people will work very, very hard for success, and then, I mean, put in long hours and make great sacrifices in time and energy. However, just as they are about to reach their goal, something will go fatally wrong. They will do something wrong, and they will then act either consciously or unconsciously, and just kick that chair right out from underneath themselves, and boom, predispose themselves to failure again. And I gave you an example last week. I said, here's an example. You know, the salesman who's on his way to close the deal of a lifetime, okay? He gets into an automobile accident. The lawyer on his way to signing of his big contract. I mean, one is gonna really change his whole life. What does he do? He leaves his briefcase in the cab with the only copy of the contract. inside. Accident? Many people turn to alcohol, drugs, extramarital affairs, all in an attempt to escape the discomfort of success in spite because of their inner feelings of undeservingness. Now, number two, right where you brought me up to speed with, Natasha, the second adult manifestation of guilt is destructive self-criticism and self-defeating behavior. You have to, if you are criticized while you're growing up, you're going to soon learn how to criticize yourself. And then you're going to continue all through life. And you often hear people say things like, I'm always late, or I'm terrible with numbers, or I can't do this, I'm not very good at that, I'm not good at this. They're continuously reinforcing negative ideas that they had little, that have little or no basis in fact at all. So what's happening here is your subconscious mind is accepting whatever you say about yourself as true. And if you continue to do this, your mind is going to accept these words as commands. And then sooner or later is going to feed this back to you to fit a pattern with all of this destructive self-criticism. Now, you will behave on the outside the way you talk to yourself on the inside. Now, the third way that you demonstrate that you've been raised with feelings of guilt is that you are easily manipulated by guilt. You are an easy mark for anyone with their irritation or their impatience that others use to manipulate your behavior. Even people you don't know can pull your guilt strings, okay? And you know, virtually all charitable solicitations are based on the skilled use of guilt to manipulate your emotions, make you feel that you are undeserving of your standard of living and your accomplishments. And if they can get you to accept the gift, guilt, they can get you to send a big financial contribution to their charity. And once they get you on their waiting list, then you can expect to get a whole lot of those in the future. No doubt about that. You know, so anyway, I mentioned last time too that when I'm flying, and I used to fly an awful lot, that sometimes I would see flight attendants try to use guilt on me when I was I'd ask for extra water, because I know you need a couple pints, you need about a quart of water every 2 or 3 hours in the air, and so they're going to bring it to you in small glasses. Every time I finish one, but within 15-20 minutes, I'm going to be asking for another, right? And so they'll say things for you like, can I get you anything else? Will that be all? You know, with that little, you know, condescending attitude. And I'll say, well, actually, not really, because I'm going to need some more water in just a little bit. I'm going to need some more. I mean, and if you, it's like they go, they sigh heavily. I mean, like you've asked them to carry your baggage across country on foot. So, you know, this is nothing. They want you, and see, most people that are compelled to shut up, they don't ask for anything, or they apologize for asking. That's what people do when they feel guilt. They try to explain it, they try to defend themselves, or they apologize for it in the first place. Okay, now, the fifth manifestation of guilt and blame. The fifth manifestation is where you use guilt and blame on other people. If you've been raised as a victim of it, being constantly criticized, then you're going to grow up and you're going to use it as a way of communicating. You learned it from your parents, most likely. Okay? That's the fourth. And the fifth is what I called the victim complex. You're using victim language. You're always complaining, using words like, I'm sorry, and it's not my fault, and I didn't mean it. I have to, but I can't. I can't, but I have to. And I'll try. I'll do my best. It's always a cry of not guilty. It's like you're constantly saying, not guilty, not guilty, not guilty. So if these five things echo as meaningful to you of things that you felt about yourself, even one, then the answer is yes, you have a guilty personality. Now, how do you free yourself from guilt? Number one, eliminate destructive self-criticism from your thoughts and your conversation. Refuse to say anything that is negative about yourself at any time, unless you want it to be true. Refuse to allow anyone else to speak to you in a negative way. If someone tries to criticize you or says something about you, you know what, you're always late. You're just always late. You got to stop them right in their tracks. Don't ever say that about me. Well, why not? You've always been late. In the past, that's true. You're right. In the past, I was. But not anymore. You see, I've made changes. I've changed myself. I'm never late anymore. Don't ever say that about me. You have to challenge it. You have to cancel it out. You can't allow that destructive self-criticism to come from anyone else without you responding to it. And you should never say destructively critical things about yourself. You say, in spite of what I just did, I'm still okay. I don't like what I did. I can change that, but I'm still okay. Next time I'm in this situation, I'll do it this way. That's the way you avoid criticizing yourself. You say, I'm okay, but the next time I'm doing this, this is how I'm going to do it. Does that make sense to you?
Yes.
Yeah, that makes tremendous sense to me. That's how I changed my entire personality, Zach. I changed my entire personality that way. Otherwise, I was constantly beating myself up. I'm such an idiot. I never do it right. I'm calling myself names. Therefore, reinforcing my feelings of undeservingness, reinforcing my feelings of unworthiness, reinforcing my feelings of feeling insecure, reinforcing that. So now I don't do that. I said, oh, boy, I don't like what I just did. I'm not going to do that again. And I'm okay. I didn't like what I did. I'm fine. I know why I did it. It's never going to happen again. I'm going to change that right now. Next time I'm in that situation, here's how I'm going to handle it. And then I go ahead and tell myself exactly what I'm going to do. And if I need to make the other steps, I'll take those steps as well. You see? That's the way you make a change. And that's the way you avoid ever saying using destructive self-criticism on yourself. You got to remember that your mind is constantly absorbing this information and internalizing it as part of your self-concept. And you can never outperform your self-concept. Gang, it is now 15 minutes before the hour. We are in the middle now of our main topic. I hope you're getting something from it. This is the Power Hour. My name is Mac Newton. If you allow someone to say something negative about you, if you, without responding to it, or without canceling it out by challenging it in the way I just showed you, your subconscious mind is going to accept it as a valid description of you. It's going to file it away, and it's going to reinforce your feelings of guilt and inferiority instead of getting rid of it. Negative statements by yourself or by others, if not canceled out, set you up for failure. Number two, the second thing that you can do to free yourself from feelings of guilt. Number two, refuse to blame anyone for anything. That's right. Accept complete responsibility for your life in total. And for everything in it that you can do something about. Most people do what they think is right most of the time. That's my belief. There's nothing to be gained by criticizing or condemning or complaining. Criticizing and blaming others actually lowers your own self-esteem and reinforces your own feelings of guilt. When you start to feel angry with someone, here's what I do, Zach. I do it every single time I start to feel angry. I start to feel negative about someone. I start to feel upset. And it allows me to continue on in a positive vein. I say this, no one is to blame. I am responsible. No one is guilty. I am responsible. Calms me down immediately. It's like taking a Xanax or something. It's like taking, you know, some of the best tranquilizers in the world. It's a mental tranquilizer. Just calms you right down. No one is too guilty. I am responsible right now. I am responsible right now. No, I am responsible right now. No one is guilty. No one is to blame. Not even yourself. And here's the main thing about that. Because blame always looks backwards to things that can't be changed. Whereas responsibility is looking to the future. Where you're looking to blame someone, even yourself, you're going back into the past. So you have to say, no one is to blame. No one is to blame. Now, Sunday, you went with me, Natasha, when I did a talk for the East Boys Club, East Valley Boys Club. And by the way, we received several emails about it. I didn't even know. I had several of my friends were in the audience there from Facebook. And I received several memos about that. I drew what's called the negative emotion tree. And one day here on the Power Hour, even without a notepad, I'm going to draw you a mental negative emotion tree. Was that an interesting example of how to get rid of negative emotion?
I think it was a perfect example. And it's very understandable for everybody. And you mentioned everything. You covered everything that's possibly...
It's an easy way to understand how to not ever blame anyone for anything. And you remind me, in the next couple of weeks, I'm going to go, because it's going to take us 2 more weeks for us to finish this. So this will be, I'll be the perfect time for me to draw the negative emotion tree. So remind me of that, okay?
I'll do that.
Number 3, refuse to be manipulated by people throwing guilt. Each time someone says or does anything to make you feel guilty, and you give in to their demands, you reinforce the guilty personality that you already have. You reinforce the guilty feeling, and you make it easier for people to control you. If you can get someone to accept the guilt, you can control them like a fish on a hook. You can get them to go and do whatever you want. You can control their money, their emotions. You can control how they think, what they say, where they live, what they do. You know, you see it used by negative religions. You see it used by parents. And for one reason and one reason only, it works. It works, and it works every time, and it works 100% of the time. Now, parents use it sometimes because they're trying to make their kids feel insignificant. I mean, and that's terrible to say. They're trying to make them feel bad, or they're trying to control their emotions. They're trying to control what they do. But there are other ways to communicate, and that's what we're going to get to right now. I'm going to show you the ways that things you can do to control and stop people from trying to make you feel guilty, okay? Each time someone does that. Now, I think there's at least one person in everybody's life, and sometimes there are more, who is accustomed to only interacting with you using guilt, okay? That's their only means of communication. They make you feel guilty. They make you feel bad all the time. It could be a spouse, a friend, a mother, a coworker. I mean, you could be in a relationship with someone in which guilt is the basic operating program, you know? I mean, it's like you two just make each other feel guilty all the time. It's like it's one-upmanship. Can I make you feel guilty before you make me feel guilty? And can I make you feel more guilty than you make me feel guilty? It's like a game being played back and forth, like tennis. So, here are 2 quick techniques that you can use to break another person of the habit of using guilt, and it works every time. Every time they try to control you or manipulate you using guilt, the first and the easiest is to just go silent. Say nothing. Takes 2 to tango, okay? If you refuse to respond, game comes to a halt. You see, silence, whether you're talking self-defense, is not a fear response. It's not a guilty response. It's just no response. No response is always just no response. So, refuse to answer. Don't allow yourself to be provoked. Don't allow yourself. Remember this. Remember, you have been conditioned to respond automatically to guilt since you were a child. And this is the way that you normally respond. You respond by explaining yourself, by defending yourself, or by apologizing. And the feeling to do that is going to be very, very strong. So you're going to have to exert your mental control. You have to refuse to react, refuse to give in. Am I making sense? What I'm saying? Oh, okay, all right. And when you do so, you become stronger and become more capable of dealing with this person. But as soon as you do that, the other person is going to ask you this, going to say, okay, what do you have to say? What do you got to say about that? And you respond by saying this, I'm not going to respond to that. I'm not going to respond to that. I choose not to respond to that. It's going to drive him crazy. It's going to drive him absolutely berserk. Now, when you respond, don't be aggravating. Don't be discourteous. Be polite. Smile, even if you're on the phone. resist the temptation to explain yourself, and that temptation is going to be huge. Resist the temptation to defend yourself. Resist the temptation to apologize. You don't have to say anything, and you don't have to explain yourself to anyone. And this is the best way to deal with people, because you know what? Deep inside of every single person, we know that guilt is bad. We know it instinctively is bad. But we do it anyway because it works, and then it becomes a habit, and we consciously do it all the time. But we got to break that habit. Well, as long as you cannot respond, you're going to be going a long way to breaking people's habit of communicating with you that way. Okay? I mean, let's face it, even the feeling that you have to respond is based in the reaction pattern of guilt that has been set up in the past by you. So guilt throwing and guilt catching is like tennis. Okay? Guilt throwers and guilt catchers. And I think that what you've got here is people who are really good at throwing guilt, making guilt people feel guilty, attracted to people who are really good at accepting guilt. And so they're attracted to each other by the forces of magnetism, and they get married, and they have a bunch of other guilt throwers and guilt catchers, and so the guilt is perpetuated on down through the generations. You know, get more. And I've got little six-year-old guilty personalities out there on the floor of my Taekwondo class, okay? People who are used to getting the things they want by using guilt will quickly react, and they will react angrily to any attempt you use to change the game. They're going to pull out all the stops. They're going to say, hey, you can't do that. You can't do that to me. And they will vehemently resist their loss of power, because when you do that, you have taken their power away. And you are forcing them now to communicate with you in another way. They're going to force, you're forcing them to treat you more respectfully. They're going to have to use more different words, because you're not going to respond to that. And they know exactly how to communicate with you. Is this making sense? I mean, things come to your mind right away. People come to your mind, don't they? People that you can talk to. I mean, you were talking about a friend of yours, I won't use the name right now, someone who used to try to do that to you all the time, you know?
Yes.
But, yeah, but, you know, but this is the best way. And you were telling me, well, I said something, but I probably shouldn't have said it. And I was thinking, you're right. Shouldn't have said a word. Just let it go. Make them find another way to communicate to you. Make them find another way. See, because here's what you want. You either want a healthy relationship with the other person, or you want none at all. You want all or nothing. Nothing is better than having a relationship with someone that uses guilt to manipulate you, because every time you have a conversation with them, you walk away, and how do you feel? You feel lousy. You feel like you've been beaten up. So what kind of relationship is that? You feel terrible. So you want all or nothing. You want a healthy relationship. In order to get that, you must be willing to change it. You've got to be the one to change the dynamic of this relationship. So be willing to undergo the negative reactions of the other person until they realize that guilt throwing is just no longer effective. They will be forced to do something else, and that something else will be an improvement. They will be forced to use different language, okay? They're going to have to change it, all right? You're going to have to change it. We've got about 3 or 4 minutes left in the show, and I'm going to jump quickly on this next one so I can come in next week. I can come in next week with number 3, I think so. Okay, Natasha, all right?
Okay.
Okay, so I'm going to throw in this second method right here, okay? Okay, now, I said I was going to give you 2. Number 1 is silence, right? The other one I'm going to call the broken record. Now, I remember who I got this one from. I borrowed this one from Brian Tracy. Brian is a brilliant speaker, author, and lecturer, and one of my mentors, and a genius in the field of self-improvement. And I heard him talk about this. It's a brilliant response. This is what you do. When someone tries to make you feel guilty, you say, "You're not trying to make me feel guilty, are you? You're not trying to make me feel guilty, are you?" And you know what the first thing they're going to say? They're going to say, "Well, no, I'm not. No, I'm not. I'm not trying to make you feel guilty." And then you say, "What made you think that?" I don't know. I don't know. Okay? And you know, because making you feel guilty is something they do automatically, is something they do because it's the way they communicate on a regular basis, they're going to do it again in a matter of seconds. And so as soon as they do it again, you stop the conversation. You go, "Whoa, whoa, whoa, whoa." And then you smile, even if on the phone. and you say, you're not trying to make me feel guilty, hence the broken record. Okay, you're gonna always respond with the broken record. You're always gonna, you're not trying to make me feel guilty. Well, if not the second time, certainly by the third, they're gonna say, yes, I am. And then you're gonna respond with, okay, guess what? It's not gonna work. It's not going to work. You're bringing to their level of awareness, this is not the way to communicate with you. Natasha, does that make sense? Can that work for you?
Yes, it works for everyone. I used it before.
Yes, it works. Oh, you're not trying to make me feel guilty, are you? And see, I remember giving some kids in my Taekwondo class years ago permission to call me on that whenever I did it. And whenever they would call me on it, Mr. Newton, are you trying to make us feel guilty? And I knew they had caught me. And it's like, yes. And you know what? Thank you for calling me on that. And I'm not going to do that anymore. I can communicate better than that. And it makes everyone's relationship better. It makes everyone better. Okay, let me make a note right here so I don't have the issue I had at the beginning of today's session. But I don't feel bad about it because it gave me a chance to review a little bit more. But I did cover some sections that we had done before. So we're going to pick up right here at the fourth way, okay? Pick up right here and this next week, okay? Got it. I got a note on it. Can't miss on that. Plus, Natasha is not going to let me forget. She will hold me accountable to it. All right. You know what, gang? I really like doing this Power Hour because it just gives me so much food for thought. Because with me, I like to be the things I'm talking about. I don't just want to talk about it as if I've mastered it. I want to be in the process of learning. I want to be growing, continually growing. I think for human beings, the road to success is always under construction. And I certainly look at myself that way. So I appreciate all the great things you say about me, but you know what? I like to think that I'm right there with you, listening to that voice on the radio teach us how to get better, how to improve the quality of our lives and our relationships and our prosperity, how to enjoy some of those things that Andy's enjoying over there in the north of France, to be able to look at a blue sky and appreciate it. Like I look out the window and I say, oh, how great is it to live in Phoenix, Arizona? I love it. How great it is to have some of the friends that I have who appreciate me as a real live person. How great it is to listen to music and have good food. So, and how wonderful it is to have the fabulous Natasha in my life. How wonderful is that? There are blessings all around you if you can take a moment to just appreciate them. Don't let the day go by as if it's something that you're entitled to. Because you're not. It's a blessing. It's a blessing that you have this day and this day only. Tomorrow, God willing, and the creek don't rise, you'll get a new one, hopefully. But let's enjoy this one while we have it. As always, I want to close by saying, be true to yourself. Let your words and your actions match. Be good to yourself. You know, give yourself some appreciation once in a while. I want to say thanks to Bob Adlock. Getting ready to go back to work, huh, Bob? The sun season is kicking back off. Good luck to those sons. Pat McMahon, my mentor for life. JC up in San Fran. One day we'll be partners again on the Power Hour. But in the meantime, you know you are my co-host for life. My main man, JB. And of course, to the magic man himself, Zach, behind the glass, you make the show go, brother. If it wasn't for you, it would not exist. And to the fabulous Natasha. And you'll get a chance to see in person, you know, well, on DVD, or at least on computer, exactly how fabulous Natasha is. In fact, Natasha, did you know you're on YouTube?
No, I didn't know.
Yes,
that.
You are. You're on YouTube. If you put in Mac Newton, one word, into YouTube, and you'll see, go to one of my commercials. I forget which one it is. Yeah, one of our my TV commercials.
That's right, I did one of your commercials.
Yes, you're in a TV commercial. You'll see her. I won't describe her. You'll know exactly who she is. You'll be able to pick her out. All right, gang, again, my name is Mac Newton, and this is the Power Hour. My musical guest host has been Brian Culberson. Do him a favor, buy some of his music. You know, they always appreciate that. We'll see you again next week. In the meantime, 3, 2, 1, peace. The Mac Daddy is out.